Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Welcome to this episode of Dracena Wines Podcast. We are back to science in this episode, and we are talking about some nasty stuff. Actually, some nasty organisms. Today, we are all about phylloxera, those nasty little aphids that have caused so much destruction and have had such a major impact on the world of wine. But before we get to these revolting little buggers, can I please ask you to take a moment and scroll down on your phone to leave us a review? Tell us what you think about our podcast and leave us a note on what you would like us to talk about. This is a win-win situation. We get noticed more in iTunes with each new review, and you'll get to hear more of what you want. So let's go. Time to learn about some plant lice. Okay, so we're going to start off with talking about the bugger itself, the science behind the insect. So, Dalusifera vitifoliae are the nightmare of all wineries and vineyard managers. It is better known as phylloxera, a plant lice. Similar to the lice that humans get, only these guys live on plants. And it is a nasty little insect that's related to aphids. So if you own a garden, you are probably very familiar with aphids. But these little buggers are much more voracious than the aphids that you see in a typical garden. Phylloxera are almost microscopic aphids. They just look nasty. When seen in a vineyard, those vines are in trouble. Sadly, there's not much you can do other than expect the death of your vines. Currently, there is actually no cure known for phylloxera. Depending on the strain, which is another term for, or the genetic term for a subtype. So think of different types of flus. These insects feed on roots and leaves of the vine. As the phylloxera feed, they cause damage and leave nodules, along with a secondary fungal infection. This secondary fungal infection leads to the vine having difficulty uptaking nutrients and water. So technically, the phylloxera are not what kills the vine, but they're the primary cause. So they cause this situation to happen where the vines cannot pick up the nutrients and the water that they need. So that is ultimately why they die, right? So it makes sense. No nutrients, no water equals ultimately death. So it's not a good prognosis. Scientifically speaking, phylloxera is a complicated organism. It has a life cycle that consists of up to 18 stages with a sexual leaf, root, and winged form. The life cycle, explained very briefly, is male and female eggs are laid on the underside of the grape leaf. These hatch, mate, and die. But before the female dies, she actually lays one special egg, a winter egg, in the trunk of the vine. This egg develops into a leaf form of the aphid and crawls up to the leaves and injects saliva to create the gall. She then asexually deposits eggs into this gall. These eggs hatch and these nymphs move to other leaves or the roots where they create more infections in the root form. They destroy the roots to make the incisions in the roots and secreting a poison that prevents the roots from healing themselves. They deposit more eggs that then give rise to a multitude of other generations. They can move from root to root and neighboring vines through the soil. In autumn, these nymphs hatch and then hibernate in the roots and reemerge in spring when the sap is plentiful. If the weather is humid, they will develop into the winged form. If it's not humid, no wings develop. But whichever form, they are able to start the cycle all over again. And it's actually done asexually, so they don't even need to find a mate. They can reproduce at will. And reproduce they do, and do, and do. With 3 to 5 generations each year, a lot of damage can be done in a short amount of time. So phylloxera really starts, the history of phylloxera kind of dates back to being in France. So picture it, mid 1800s in France. The French wine industry is booming. Vines are planted everywhere, and people both in France and other countries love French wine. In order to continue their success, French vineyard managers were looking for new ways to improve their product. American vines were being brought to France like they had been done so many times before. The thought of introducing a pest had never entered anybody's mind. The first official case of phylloxera was recorded in 1863 in a region near the province of Languedoc. The phylloxera themselves were not seen by the people in the vineyards. Instead, they noticed the damage that the louse had caused. Unable to explain it, they compared the damage to tuberculosis, known as consumption in humans. In 1868, a French biologist named Jules-Emile Planchon was walking through the vineyard with some colleagues and actually noticed the plant lice. Finally, in 1870, an American entomologist, somebody who studies insects, Charles Valentine Riley, was able to prove that it was the phylloxera that caused the damage to the vines. This knowledge was met with two viewpoints. Some believed the blight would be over soon, since they now knew what caused it, while others still didn't believe that these tiny insects could be the cause of such massive destruction. Instead, they thought the lice were there because of the blight, as opposed to causing it. To add to the difficulty, remembering the potentially 18-part life cycle of Drosophila vitifoliae discussed earlier, it is a very complex organism to study with the varying life cycles, not only dependent on humidity, but it also varies in the U.S. and France. As more and more vines became infected, panic became widespread. I mean, seriously, this is their livelihood, and they're watching it die right in front of their eyes with no way to battle it. Over a 15-year period, over 40% of the grapevines were gone. Wineries shut down, causing a more than 50% reduction of wine being produced. This is the major epoch in California wine history. Okay? At this point, vignerons, the grape growers, decided to leave the area. They needed to support their families, and it wasn't going to happen there. So they packed up and just left. So they chose to leave their lives behind in France and move to Rioja, South America. And some came to California, and they brought their skills with them. By this time, it was widely thought that the insects came to France as passengers on American vines. Previously, because there was no quick way to get the vines to France, the lice died. But with the invention of steamships, the trip was so much faster, the phylloxera were able to survive. This led to belief that American vinifera were resistant to phylloxera. So the vignerons came to California along with their knowledge and grafted grapes on resistant rootstock. This introduced the French varietals into California. So now, California and phylloxera. Okay? When phylloxera hit France in the 1870s, some of the vignerons fled to California, right? The French hybrids were grafted onto the native rootstocks, and these rootstocks had a natural resistance to the phylloxera. Grapes were brought to California by the Spanish missionaries. The mission grape, also known as país in Chile and criolla in Argentina, had low color and low acid. It is still used as a substrate to be turned into brandy. California winemaking saw a surge when the gold rush occurred. The miners liked to drink wine, and after drinking wine made from the mission grapes, they demanded a better quality wine. Enter Zinfandel. This variety is originally from Croatia, but was brought to California from the east. During the 1800s, technically the 1880s, all was good with the California wine industry. Because of the phylloxera outbreak in France, their wine prices increased and people turned to California for their wine. Importations of European grape varieties increased and the quality of wine improved dramatically. All was good in the California wine world until until the 1890s, when three things occur. One, France recovered from the phylloxera. Two, we entered the Depression. And three, phylloxera came to California because Americans planted French rootstock. This led to the clear understanding that rootstock was the only way to beat phylloxera. Once Prohibition came along and wine could be made for medicinal purposes, California saw a growth in acreage of grapes planted. But the grapes planted were different. The new varieties needed to have thicker skins and higher acids to allow for easier travel. Petite Syrah and Alicante were introduced at this time. Around the time of World War II, wine sales were increasing again. Bulk wine shipments decreased and quality was once again in the forefront. The government took over the production of distilleries. A large portion of the alcohol being produced was used as a fuel source. Beer became more curtailed, which led to wine being the only true source of alcohol for consumption. Plus, the government took over production of Thompson seedless grapes to provide raisins in the military food packs. Prices of wine rose, and this led to more vineyards being planted. Once again, all was good in California wine industry until post-war, when distilled spirits became more available, along with beer, wine demand decreased. Additionally, post-war technology brought cold sterilization, stainless steel, cold fermentation, and allowed for new white wines. Malolactic fermentation was controlled, barrels began to be used as flavoring components, and we had pure yeast cultures. Quality once again came to the forefront, but demand lowered again. People wanted to expand on what they were drinking, so wineries planted new varieties. There was a huge boom in the consumption of wine in the 1970s and early 1980s, but then the other shoe dropped again. Unfortunately, all rootstocks are not created the same. During this boom, many grape growers used a rootstock known as AXR1. This particular rootstock had failed to prove resistance in many other areas of the nation, but growers thought it was resistant in California. Yeah, California is special that way. In the 1980s, through evolution of mutant phylloxera, they began to overtake this rootstock. In other words, they were genetically mutated to survive. Okay? So think X-Men of lice. Ultimately, leading to the complete destruction of vineyards planted on this rootstock. Entire vineyards were ripped up, and replanting of these vineyards needed to be performed and continue to this day. Currently, grafts are placed on a hybrid known as 41B. As of now, this rootstock has proven to maintain its resistance and to phylloxera, has once again and hopefully finally been controlled. The wine industry, along with science, fought the battle against phylloxera. Did you know that Dracena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year. Your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a planned maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. Thanks for listening to Dracaena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracaenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracaenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracaenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracaenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracaena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracaenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!